Thanks for joining us in this podcast. As you know, the intent of these podcasts is to have a conversation about where CentraCare is going and why we're going there. Joining me today is Santo Cruz, our general counsel. Each of you folks listening to this podcast have team members that you really rely on, and Santo is part of my team at CentraCare and helps provide all things legal and a lot of other things as well. So Santo, welcome to this podcast. And as a way of introduction to the listeners, who is Santo Cruz? Why do you do what you do? What's your story?
Thank you, Ken. Happy to be here. I am the middle child of nine kids from Melrose, Minnesota. I grew up on a dairy farm not too far outside of Melrose, between Melrose and Sauk Center. I was born in the Melrose Hospital. Mm-hmm. And after going to law school, worked in the metro for about 10 years, and about 3 years ago came out here because I really feel connected to CentraCare's mission. And really what I would say is I really enjoyed growing up out here and the way of life that we had. And I think it's a way of life that faces currently a lot of challenges. And I think CentraCare is part of the answer of preserving that way of life. When my wife and I moved back out to the country, as we say, from living in St. Paul for over a decade, we look at the same three things that all parents look at. Do I have healthcare? Is there education for my children? And do I have a job? CentraCare often in a small town and even in a large town is two pillars of that three-pillar evaluation. So I feel very thankful to be here, and I find my work very fulfilling.
So Santo, I must ask you that when you moved back to the country, tell me about the menagerie that lives in your house and or around your house.
Yes. So I have five daughters, and we have a small acreage, and we keep goats from time to time. And so that's always fun. We have a number of chickens. We have a feral cat that came out of the woods that my daughters adopted. It is a true feral cat. It's a very good mouser or squirreler, depending upon the day. And we also have a dog named Rocky, a French pointer. So, yes, it is a very, we are full of life at the Cruz compound, and it is a very fun place to be.
Yeah, whenever I see Santo, I say, no, there's a busy guy. Not only busy at work, but busy at home. So,
it's true.
Thanks, Santo. I want to, so one of the things that is important to me as a leader is to make sure that the key leaders in our major areas of accountability, whether it's Santo or Joe Kalkman's in HR or Mike Blair in finance, is not only are they an expert in their area, but they need to have two other characteristics. One is the ability and willingness to cross sectors. Many of you will have heard Santo, for example, on O&I and many other meetings. Santo is a great leader for our organization. So that's a characteristic I really look for in our leaders. And the second thing I look for is a sense of humor. We need humor in our life. Now, you're going to see a little inside humor between Santo, because I always like to share with him the latest lawyer joke, and there's thousands of them. And of course, Santo tells me the latest doctor joke. So Santo, what do you call 1,000 lawyers on the bottom of the ocean?
I don't know.
A good start.
So, sorry. You know, I have to jump in with one of my own, because Ken and I do this on road trips from time to time. And sometimes, you know, other general counsels will say, well, you know, my chief client or the CEO is this or that or has done this. And you kind of take bragging rights, to be perfectly honest with you, about like what your boss has done. And I go very, you know, very farm humor. I say my boss has passed gas all over the state of Minnesota because he was an anesthesiologist.
So again, a little inside humor for those of you. I am an anesthesiologist, and passing gas, you know, goes with the territory. So I appreciate the conversation, Santo. And by the way, you still have your job. So
thank you. We have to take ourselves lightly and our work seriously. Yeah.
So talking about serious work, Santo, one of the things that's confusing to folks is who owns CentraCare, and then kind of like who runs or governs CentraCare. So maybe talk a little bit about that, because you're really our expert in that area. Who owns CentraCare and who runs CentraCare?
Yeah, thanks. That's a really good question, because I think the not-for-profit status can be a little bit confusing. I think folks, again, who haven't been subjected to law school will hear not-for-profit and think, well, we're not in the business of making money. And that's not true. We are in the business of earning money the way a for-profit would be. What makes us a not-for-profit is that what happens to that money once it's been earned? And for a not-for-profit, we have a board that governs us. It's a not-for-profit board. And they ensure, along with a whole host of other folks, that that money is used for a purpose. So in one way, you could say no one owns CentraCare, and that's by design and that's by law. In another way, you could say everybody does who we serve, because every dollar in some way, shape, or form needs to be tied back to our purpose. And so certainly we can pay salaries, we can invest in the market again, but eventually all of that investment and wealth that's built has to come back home to the purpose, not back home to a small group of individuals or to an individual owner. So that's how I think the best way to understand our not-for-profit status. We're governed by a volunteer board that gets appointed and is self-appoints its members. Ken doesn't pick who's on the board. The board picks who's on the board. And then the board chooses Ken, the CEO. And once they've chosen Ken, then his job is to make sure that the operations, the strategy, you name it, then lives out that purpose. And it's a complex relationship, but it's a very important one for the accountability of how we use our funds.
I love that explanation, Santo, because I have always viewed my role as having two accountabilities. One is formally is to the board, because as you said, they hire me and fire me. But the other is, since the community, our listeners even, are the owners and hold our work in trust, I view myself as being accountable to everybody that listens on this podcast and our patients and our community. So thank you for that explanation. That's just marvelous. Going back to those board of directors, you know, we have a number of kind of entities in CentraCare, Santo. Talk a little bit about the governance, like, for example, let's say Rice or Long Prairie or some of the other communities that are part of our organization. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I like that you brought that up, Ken, because we are a very large organization, both geographically, employee-wise, and you name it, and also just the number and the variety of different things we take on. We take them on in a number of different ways. Eventually, everything rolls up to and is governed by the CentraCare Health System Board. But there are multiple boards and operating committees that live underneath that umbrella. And so I think we have, and this is always changing, we have about 34 or 35 different tax IDs that sit over little under 75 different companies. So it is a very, very large enterprise. And that number is literally always changing. We are sometimes winding one down. We are sometimes building one. We are sometimes filing for a new LLC or company that's going to live underneath a larger umbrella. So there again, a lot of complexity, but again, all tied back to that mission of serving the community for health and wellness.
You know, Santo, you mentioned just a tad ago that the owner of CentraCare really is us. And that the money that we make, and we do need to make a return to invest in our communities. And so that fulfills our purpose. But I want to clarify one other thing for our listeners. Do we pay taxes?
Yes. Yes. We pay a lot of taxes. The tax exempt status is not a broad brush, and it has to be justified within every entity. And if it's not, it has to be, it gets very complicated, but the simple answer to your question is CentraCare pays a lot of taxes. Are we exempt from some of them? You bet we are.
So Santo, my head is swirling a little bit with complexity theory, because when I see you, I think complexity theory. But really, tell me, what's your job? So when our folks see Santo Cruz, General Counsel of CentraCare, tell me how you view your job and kind of what your broad areas of accountability are.
Yeah. I think the best way for me to describe it for folks, especially because there aren't actually a lot of attorneys that work inside of CentraCare, I think the best way to describe it is that I really only do one thing, and that is I manage risk. The risk I enjoy managing most is the upside risk in terms of a new joint venture, a new moving into a new community, building a new hospital, those type of things. Bringing in new talent, whether that be from the clinician side or the staff side or you name it. So there's the upside risk. And then there's also the downside risk in terms of malpractice suits, you know, complaints, regulatory oversight, audits, and you name it. So there's upside risk and downside risk. And my job is to manage that risk with from a legal perspective. But built into that is, I think, the other thing that I do, which is that has a lot of complexity to it. And not just from a regulatory or statutory law perspective, it also has a lot of complex relationships, whether that be geography, demographically, or sometimes politically in terms of the legislature, federal side, state side, and you name it. And so I really see my role in that world of complexity. My responsibility is to simplify that and to be able to describe the complexity in a way that helps folks navigate the risk that they're in the middle of. And that, for me, is very fulfilling to be able to think about the complexity long enough and deep enough to be able to simplify it and say, here's what we're really trying to do. And that doesn't mean that I always see the answer. It just sometimes means that I'm helping others see their next step. And for me, that's more fulfilling than me always coming up with, here's what you need to do. And I think that more and more that will be my role.
So you have nicely segued into really the essence of our conversation, and that's where CentraCare is going. So Santo, as a gifted leader and general counsel, and you look at the landscape that CentraCare lives in the world that we must adapt to, where is CentraCare going from your perspective?
I think CentraCare is going through a transformation, and maybe even I'd say a retooling for the future delivery of healthcare. And it's doing it at a time where, with its growth, it's still integrating across its different entities, its different service sites, its different service lines, and you name it. But it's doing that, I think, quite smartly with a sense of urgency. Because most, as you know, Ken, you know, when you hired me, I was a public official and a government attorney for quite some time. And the conversation of where things are at in terms of healthcare, it's not even, there's nothing complex about the direction the healthcare is headed. It's got to become cheaper, easier, and better at preventing catastrophic and chronic illness, and managing that better. And that is a really tall order for the way that healthcare was built. Because as you and I have discussed on our car rides across the state, you know, healthcare was built for specialization, which created natural silos across the spectrum. And so we're in the middle of tearing down those silos laterally and then aligning forward to do a different type of healthcare delivery. Very, very complicated work, very, very challenging work. But where we're headed is becoming much, much more consumer focused or patient focused, depending upon how you want to refer to that. And that means taking into account what they're looking for, which is easier access, better prevention, and lower cost. This is a huge, huge issue in healthcare, is lower cost.
Yeah, you just described the triple aim or quadruple aim as we describe it. So well stated, Santo. Thank you. The last question for this podcast, we'll kind of go back to where we started. That's kind of the personal side. What's the one thing that Santo thinks about in your heart of hearts that is cool? It could be something related to a personal journey or a professional journey, but and for listeners, we don't script this. I want this to be fresh. So what's the one thing that Santo says, this is cool, something I'm proud of, or maybe something that was revelationary to you? That's what we'll close with, Santo. What do you think?
You know, I didn't know this question was coming, but the thing I want to, if you don't mind, read to you is the letter I wrote to, Joy asked a number of us to write a letter to the folks who've been working in the COVID units. And if you have just a moment, I will pull it up and I will read it, if that's okay.
Yeah, while Santo's pulling that up, I'm just going to finish with a thank you to our listeners for listening. These conversations not only give you a look at the folks who are our leaders, but also a way for us to further have this conversation about where CentraCare is going. This is a collaborative thought process, and most importantly, a collaborative work process. We are in this together, and we do it for the purpose of our communities, our patients, and each other. So again, we're going to finish with Santo's reading of his letter that he wrote, and after that, we'll be done. So again, thank you very much. Thank you, Santo, for joining me today. Thank you for all that you do for our organization, and please finish it off for us.
Thank you. And again, we didn't script this, but I literally just wrote this yesterday. And you're good, Ken. You like gave me just the right amount of time for me to pull up my phone. So here we go. And this is something I feel very, very deeply. Many years from now, this is for a scrapbook that staff has requested. Many years from now, each of you will tell parts of your story from the years 2020 and 2021. Some of you will be answering questions of a grandchild during a report for school. Others will be sharing, for the first time, some moments you've never been able to talk about before. Still others will be training in new leaders and providing firsthand examples of what to do in situations that the trainee has only read about in textbooks. In short, you will bear witness to the actions you took in an era that fundamentally changed the world and the course of history. There will be tears, there will be laughter, and long silences in your retelling. I hope you well up with pride in that moment, as I hope you well up with pride today. My story will be that I knew you. I saw you, I witnessed parts of your story, and was forever changed by what I saw. My story will be that each of you redefined for me what commitment means. Thank you for your work, your story, and for who you are at your core. In truth, Santo.
And the people say, amen.
Amen.